At least once a year, I believe we should indeed take time to ponder the mystery of the Trinity. I wish I could stand here and say that I'm going to give you all the answers you could ever need. That's why I called upon our most active seminary student to bring the children's message this morning. So I invite you to ponder that amazing mystery of God, Son, and Holy Spirit, all together in one. And perhaps maybe this season of the year, as we move into summer, this season following Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, this season perhaps invites us even more fully to enter into that mystery of the God who creates, the Jesus who walks with us, the Holy Spirit, which empowers, brings energy, brings light, brings hope, is our most visible around us way of seeing God at work in life. And so it is perhaps even more fitting that our lectionary passage for this Sunday after Pentecost is the Great Commission of Jesus himself. When Jesus gathered on that high mountain with 11 of his disciples, a very incomplete number, for 12 is the most complete number. When Jesus gathered on that high mountain, that amazing creation that mountains are for finding and experiencing the nature and the awesomeness of God. Of course, I grew up in Washington State, so I have to say that. Those of you who find it in water may feel it similarly as well. They gathered on that mountain, those 11. They gathered to hear again, to encounter Jesus, to see him at the top of that mountain. We gather too in worship each day to experience an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with the Holy Spirit, an opportunity to draw closer to God. To God, our ability, like in those 11 who gathered with Jesus, our ability is less important than our availability. Our ability can even get in the way if it obscures God's role and power at work in our achievement. The history books are full of stories of gifted persons whose talents were overlooked by a procession of people until someone believed in them. We heard and celebrated this morning the stories of transition points in many of our lives, of graduations, of teachers that are continuing on to the end of the school year who have guided us in that process. Of amazing schools and ways in which we learn and grow and stretch and move in new directions. But the history books are full of stories of those gifted people who needed that teacher, who needed that one to unlock and believe in them. Einstein was 4 years old before he could speak and 7 before he could read. A newspaper editor fired Walt Disney because he had no good ideas. Haydn ever gave up of making a musician of Beethoven who seemed, quote, a slow and plodding young man with no apparent talent except a belief in music. How many of us have been people who have been touched by the lives of someone who believed in us? Perhaps even someone in this congregation who believed in you and a vision of what you might be or become. Last week we celebrated confirmation of a number of our youth who have been in that year-long confirmation process of exploring their faith, of learning about the Trinity, of drawing closer to God, and they were mentored each by one in this congregation. This Trinity, Creator, Savior and Lord and Spirit, speaks to us in new ways. The Spirit moves in us in ways that right now is rearranging my sermon as I speak it to you. Tied to that great commission, a fitting place for us to be this day, this week after confirmation, after Pentecost. A friend of mine said that we shouldn't call the season after Pentecost ordinary time, and one of my friends was saying, I'm going to start a crusade that we call it the season of Pentecost, where we focus on the Spirit and the giving of the Spirit. So today I wear my red stole. It has green too for ordinary time, but I wear my red stole to claim that spirit that we need in this time, as this church is in transformation here, as your lives, I know, are in transformation and transition. What is the world in which you are called to move and live your faith? In work, in family, in school, in friends, in volunteer commitments and opportunities, in ways that you care for a world far beyond this address in Hope Street. The world comes to us differently as we encounter one another in this community. As we welcome back Vivian from her travels to Ghana, as we see new faces in the stories coming out of Iraq, as we know and pray for and have welcomed into our community, Matham, Veen, Jalila, and Faraj. We can join, not just in this community of ourselves, but in solidarity with a world that needs Creator, Christ, and Spirit. Jesus did not start with that message that he ended up with in the Great Commission in chapter 28, because most of Jesus' message, as it was recorded in Matthew's gospel, was a message to the Jewish community. And it opens up when we come to this great commission at the end. It opens up in a call to discipleship, a call to discipleship to those 11 who were gathered in incompleteness in that moment, some doubting, we read in that scripture. But it gathers in a message of discipleship, a message that is used 260 times in the Gospel and Acts, this word disciple. Though we usually think of disciple as Jesus' 12 disciples, in reality it extends so much more broadly to the community which followed Jesus, to the community that calls us forth to follow Jesus. For discipleship is not a once and forever learning, but one which must be exercised and lived. And we must go out into this world to live it. Some of us will live it very, very locally, and some of us will go to the ends of the earth. Anne Frank, just before she was taken off to her death in 1944, wrote, "How wonderful it is that nobody need wait a single moment before beginning to improve the world." Where will we take that flame of Pentecost that we've experienced? Beyond the immediate concerns and circles of our lives, but living into new lives of discipleship. It's a weighty challenge that Jesus gives to these 11 to go into the world, a challenge that is not left for them to judge or to convict, but to make disciples and baptize, to teach, to show forth their own discipline rooted in Christ, a witness rooted in humility. All authority for the results of that continues to be with God. And we are to tell that story. We are to live that story, to witness to the faith that we have received, to show it forth in all aspects of our lives, to let it speak. Baptism in the early church, we remember, was after a considerable amount of preparation and learning when a believer was truly ready to renounce a former life and claim the new life, a power, a way offered by Christ. We experienced that embrace of new life last week in the baptisms of Becca and Will. We grow in that embrace from wherever we start the journey. The disciples are challenged. Even on a mountaintop of great beauty with Jesus himself coming in full glory, they worship him, but some doubt it. And we too sometimes doubt our abilities and the power of Christ to work in and through us. And yet we gather as a community to be strengthened by one another, by the community as a whole, to hear God speak to us right at a moment when we need it most. It is a progression from hearing and responding to that good news. This same root for disciple is found in the word discipline, to surrender to teaching, to be open to transformation. It takes discipline to be a disciple. We have to show up to be disciplined, to be disciples. Living faith does not just happen without our attention to the world around us, to live as Jesus has commanded, loving God and neighbor, to make disciples, baptize, teach, and remember, and to trust it all to God. One commentator has said, and I like this to remember, that we need to act as if it all depends on us and to trust as if nothing does, that it depends all on God. Jesus reminds us of that in this great commission. Let us go then into all the world that God has created and redeemed, worlds that are yet to open up in front of us. Let us grow to live as the disciples that Jesus calls us to live, in the power of the Spirit that has been promised by God through Jesus himself. Amen.